Welcome to another edition of This Is Silly with the Hooligans, sponsored by Euro Electric. This is Mitch. With me is Brad.
Hi, Mitch.
Matthew Bird.
Hi.
And
hi, Bird. I said hi, Mitch, but then I didn't say hi, Bird.
Why always me?
Brad's wearing his "Why Always Me" shirt.
If I ever get arrested, this is the shirt I want to wear. Okay. I want a mugshot wearing the "Why Always Me" shirt. I
guarantee Balotelli will be wearing it when he gets arrested.
As long as you're not wearing a Hooligan shirt when you get arrested, because that's the kind
of
thing.
That would
we
also
don't want.
Be pretty cool.
No, we don't want that. Nobody wants that.
I thought you were going to say after I drop you off after a game, you'll call the cops to make sure I get arrested wearing it or something.
No, because that ruins my ride for the next game.
Yeah, do it on the last game.
That means I actually
I can serve my 6 months probation. Be ready for next season.
Officer, there's a wedding going on that Brad DeMumbrun's going to be at, and he will be drunk because it's a miserable wedding.
Yeah.
So, here we sit.
Here we sit.
We are officially mathematically eliminated from the playoffs as of this weekend.
On the way up, I was thinking, who sings that song, Hey Now, the dream is...
Crowded House.
Yeah, we should do that as our going out song, because our dream of the playoffs is over.
Well...
Or maybe we should sing that at the game.
It's not a bad chance.
Jesus.
It's not a bad chance.
No.
No, because we're saying, don't dream it's over.
Yeah.
There's still...
There's always next season.
It's getting closer to Always Look on the Bright Side by Monty Python than anything.
It's Always Sunny in St. Louis.
Rumham.
All right. Yes. Well, let's talk about the home game first. Against
the happy one?
That was a good one.
Was it ever?
But let's be honest. Let's say, for shits and giggles, that it did finish 2-0 to Charleston.
Yeah.
And then we lost the next two games. How ugly would this podcast be?
I'm afraid it's going to get pretty ugly anyway, but yeah, it would be uglier, yeah.
And to be fair, Charleston coming out flying, getting their 2-0 up quickly.
Oh, I thought it was, again. Yeah.
As soon as they scored, I thought that was it.
I told Mitch, I mean, again, my health concerns, my back hurt so bad that day. Yeah. I mean, I couldn't even stand in the stands. Mm-hmm. And I seriously considered leaving at halftime just because I felt so bad.
Yeah.
And we were already down 2-0. And I was talking to Tom Strunk, one of the owners, and I just said, well, yeah, I'm talking to Tom. I'll stick around. And then the second half started, and I was like, well, I'm not leaving now. And I'm glad I didn't, because that game turned around quickly.
We needed that first goal. Once you thought, if we get one before halftime, you know, that we're back in it. I mean,
And we blew the other penalty. That was another.
That was our season in a microcosm. We get a penalty to go level. We miss the penalty. The rebound is as surest as the sure things, and the goalie gets a fingertip to it, and it goes off the bar. I mean, I looked at that and went, well, there's our season in a 2-second span.
And it was funny, too, because a lot of people were questioning having Ambo take the second one.
Oh, he was furious with himself, though.
He was. But
I got no problem with Ambo taking that goal.
And my immediate argument was, there is nobody with more intensity on that team that I want standing at that moment than Mike Ambersley.
Seasoned veteran. I mean,
confidence.
Penalty kicks should be a gimme. You know, I mean, any of them should be able to hit it. But you've got a guy that you've selected that should be taking your penalties.
It was the first one we missed all season as well. That's where the majority of our goals have come from this year, the penalties.
But I mean, he'd hit the first one. There's no reason to let him take the second
furious.
One.
He was furious.
Yeah, you could tell.
I was just like, I hope that doesn't come back and bat us in the backside.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't leave at halftime. I moved to the other side of the stadium to the side we were shooting at, because I was like, I'm going to go see the person I met in Charleston and make sure that they're okay and having a good time.
Yeah, there were shout out to the Charleston fans who came up.
And a lot of them were Kevin Corby's family that are obviously local to here. But I ended up sitting right behind Kevin Corby's mom, the Charleston goalie. So when Fink scored, I went berserk right in front of the goalie, right behind the goalie's mom.
In your face!
Suck it!
But she was cool. She said, obviously, she said, I can't support St. Louis tonight, but I'm really glad that there's a team here. And if I come back and they're not playing Charleston, I'll definitely support St. Louis. This is brilliant. You know,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
she was,
as it should be.
She was enjoying herself. Yeah.
And credit to him, too. He's a phenomenal keeper. He had a great game. I mean, the score line didn't reflect it, obviously, but when one of them's a penalty kick, I mean, he played out of his mind,
I think he's a Scott Gallagher product.
Wouldn't surprise
if
me.
If not, I know he's good friends with Zach Godat, and Zach Godat is talks to him regular, and Kevin will send Zach Snapchats and photographs of after training on the beach, laying there on the beach.
That's a rough life.
Yeah.
Well, when we were talking to, blanking on their name, the Charleston.
Bobby and Phil.
Yeah. And they were talking about how they had lived up in the Northeast and got tired of the snow. And that's it. We're moving to the beach. And they're telling me about it. And all I could think is, I hate you people. I mean, first of all, I'd rather live in the Northeast just for the snow aspect. But the idea of 75 degrees, 80 degrees in the beach every day.
And the breeze. You got that ocean breeze.
Well, and that's another thing when we talk about where these players decide to go. It's not always money. It's not always, the field or whatever. But, I mean, those kind of things. We talked about it with Orange County Blues. But same thing with Charleston. I mean,
Wilmington.
Those are nice locations to live in. I mean,
that's a good life.
If you got a family or young family or just a single guy, living on the beach is kind of nice.
When I was down there, I met a guy who was he's a big Sheffield Wednesday fan. He had a big Sheffield Wednesday tattoo on his leg. And he was ex-military, and he basically said, I was stationed down here, and I got out the Navy because I didn't want them to move me away from here. I'm done. I'm staying here.
I'm done. I found where I want to live. Yeah.
So.
All right. So, anyway.
We're at halftime. Yeah. And then, the thing is, and that's what's so frustrating, is that it took us to get to 2-0 down to play some of the best football we've played all year.
Without a doubt.
Certainly at home.
And again, this is where I love the guys like Sam Fink, where we watched him take control of things out on the field, just, yelling and keeping things going. And when he buried that header, the look on his face in the picture says it all. But it was just, it was such a turning point in the emotion of the game that you couldn't help but have hope.
And once Sam has scored, and it all got, let's be honest, it all got pretty hazy, and it was 2 weeks ago now, but there was only going to be one winner. And we left it late, but Mike Roach was instrumental in the goal that won us the last home game against Wilmington. He came on, and him to Horton, and Horton just became a legend. He's played 10 minutes for us, and Horton became a legend.
Yeah.
Well,
help. The next game people are like, where's Horton? Yeah, he's our star. And I'm like, he had a nice shot, but let's not,
It does help that he ran down to the corner after scoring. I mean, that makes you a legend.
God bless Pete Kelly for dragging him up there.
Yeah, he's like, no, don't go that way. You need to go down here. Yeah. And also credit to Alec Can for pushing Costin off the field so he didn't get a penalty.
But Taka did get a yellow card because he thought the game was over.
That
and he ran onto
great,
the field.
I'm surprised he didn't pull a hammy or something. That was the fastest I've seen him run all season.
But he thanked the ref for the yellow.
That was the greatest thing. He turns around and the ref's giving him mouth, and I see Taka give the double thumbs up, and I'm just laughing.
Sorry, thanks.
But that is the best yellow card to get.
And
I
look,
really
we've had a struggle this season. There's no two ways about it. We're going to go to games no matter what. Because that's what we do. But games like that Thursday night against Charleston will keep the casual fan engaged. I wish it had happened two months ago because, a breakout game like that, you don't know how different the season could have been with a morale boost like that. Yeah. But I'm glad it happened. Because it looked like we were going to get to the season's end without having a breakout game at all.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, I will say the U.S. Open Cup games were a lift. Mm-hmm. I mean, we won both of those. They weren't in regular time. They were kind of, we had to get what we could get. But those were two big games, so.
But you didn't know what turgid rubbish were going to come after that in the season.
No,
No.
It's been a stretch. And
because let's be honest, up until maybe the end of May, beginning of June. You know, we won at Oklahoma City. We won at Wilmington. We beat Des Moines. We beat Minnesota on penalties. You're going to Kansas City. We were having a time of our life.
Yeah.
And
it fell apart. Which, you know, I mean, these things are going to happen. I mean, if you're a fan of football or any sport, mm-hmm. your team's going to go through a bad season occasionally. But we've still had a hell of a lot of fun. And, you know, there is a season two.
And nights like Thursday night and nights like the Minnesota penalty win. What are we gonna take away from this? I mean, Thursday night was as...
Yeah. It's as good as it gets.
For us.
And
I mean, for us this
no,
season,
it, is.
Was
it
as,
has been.
As good as it's got.
And we've got two more chances. We've got two more home games to hope for something. I mean, it's not for the playoffs, but again, we're still playing
every game
for pride.
Every game I want them to play, I want them to win.
Right.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's a kind of karmic justice that after Charleston equalized in the last minute against us down there, we scored a last-minute winner to steal the points. And, you know, it just took a little bit of the heartbreak away from how we lost at New York and how we lost it, how we snatched a draw out the jaws of victory in Charleston. So,
and we do as fans live week to week. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, a bad loss can always be turned over by the next win.
And vice versa.
Well, but hope springs eternal, you know. Yep. I mean, the next two games, I'm just as excited to go because we could get that feeling again, you know.
It's a drug. I mean,
yeah.
That euphoria that we experience in a win like that, you can't explain it to anybody if you don't experience it.
I mean, just standing in the parking lot afterwards,
yeah.
the
yeah,
smiles,
just
the, you know.
Interviewing Dale afterwards, it was different.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I imagine so, yeah. Also, hey, big shout out to Dale and Patrick Berry and Jeremy and Tom and Jim and Kevin, anybody in the front office who was involved in before the game. They wheeled down a big cart of beer for all the fans and
yeah,
just to thank us for, you know,
when you say
there.
Big cart, this isn't like a
bucket
full. This is one of the retail.
It looks like a bar
like
on wheels.
When you go to Busch Stadium and they have them in the
concourses yeah.
where they have the person selling Bud Light tall boys out of it. It was one of those, and it was full.
And full with good beers.
Yeah, it wasn't Budweiser products. It was.
I mean, there was Urban Chestnut. There was Four Hands. There was, you know, all kinds
everything.
Of stuff. Yeah.
I mean, you name it, it was in there. And they did it as a thank you to us for what we've done, and everybody appreciated it.
We greedily accepted that thank you. It was like Birdemic, man. People were flocking to that beer cart before it was even all the way into the parking lot.
I think I saw somebody at one point in time laying on top of it, digging down in the ice, trying to find stuff.
I saw Liz. She had like three of them in her shirt because I think she thought they were going to take it away. like it was a, you know, get what you want and we're taking it back to the stadium. And she's like holding them in her shirt. And I said, Liz, they're leaving it here. You know?
Well, to be fair, we're kind of used to that in soccer in St. Louis.
Yeah,
you show up and go away.
Yeah. Well, that's true. But yeah, big thanks to the front office for that. That game, Tom came down, spent the whole first half in the supporter section. Mitch gave him a big cheer, got everybody to cheer for him, which he was a little embarrassed by. But
he deserves it.
He definitely deserves it.
You know, it was great because as Tom's standing down there, the first thing he mentions, and I think we keep joking about having the Ask Tom segment.
Oh, it's going
to
happen.
But it's going to happen at this point in time, where he's standing down there, and he just turns to me at one point, and he goes, yeah, you guys need a clock. You need a clock, and turns away.
Yeah,
and you know it was immediately. You know, you're not going to get this at other events. You know, for an owner to come down, see your concerns, immediately
no, I
reinforce
think Stan
it.
Kroenke heads down to the Melonhead section at the Rams game, doesn't he?
He's in the North Bank.
He's one of the guys with the watermelon on his head,
yeah. or any of the other teams that he owns
yeah.
that he's
yeah.
currently ignoring. But yeah, no, I mean, so you know,
no, they looked for him at Arsenal today. The checkbook was nowhere. He must have had other commitments.
He's scouting property in L.A.
We can't even sell players properly. I tweeted it.
Wait, what's a transfer market? Yeah. I don't even know what that is. You at least attempted to
get
somebody.
Did your fax machine go down?
I said it was like when I tried to transfer from an over 30s league and to a co-ed Sunday league, and Vetter said no.
All right, that's enough transfer news from EPL. Nobody cares about that nonsense. And to be fair, I don't think anybody cares about the two losses. Do we really want to dwell on that?
Well, I, you know, the Rochester, not the Rochester, the Richmond game, I thought for the first hour we played pretty well. I mean, we held our own.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And I just think
Chris Lamacchia was there representing the Lilligans.
And I just thought we just ran out of gas. We just played on the Thursday, and Richmond had had a week off. And, I mean, that's how the schedule falls.
And it's not just us. I mean, I've noticed a lot of these teams that have, you know, in USL, sometimes we do get that crazy Thursday and Saturday. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, other teams have maybe not lost, but have looked worse on that short rest. It's hard to do.
Yeah. Especially with a travel day in between them.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay having...
If they're both at home, it's a little better, but yeah.
Well, and that's the other thing, too, is that not only that, but, you know, you're home to away and then come home and to go back away again. Yeah. You know, that balance just doesn't flow.
The two goals that Richmond scored were pretty good goals, too. That strike by Miura was a rocket, and the header by Yeasley, he's quite known for those, apparently. So... I wasn't upset with the Richmond result. I thought we played well. I can deal with losing so long as we play okay. It looks like we're playing for Dale and the fans, and I thought they did okay.
No, that
in
game,
Richmond.
That game at Richmond was okay.
I didn't see it. See, this is where I'm going to shut up and let you talk, because I was driving back from Oklahoma during the game, and I tried to watch it on my phone, and I was going in and out of bad reception areas, so I kind of followed it online. But two of the words that I remember seeing online about it was, one of them was abortion and the other was lethargic. Those were
definitely the lethargic.
Yeah. It was hard. It was really hard for me, because on Saturday when I coached my son's team, they played exactly the same and Newcastle played exactly the same. So,
I mean, it was
a rough weekend to watch soccer.
The first goal, I mean, it was just a pass that our guy went lazily after, and
he completely took his eye off.
And they pounced on that mistake, and just boom, boom, it was in the back of the goal. You know, it was just like, well, fuck. You know, I mean,
it was that simple.
And it wasn't like there wasn't even time to get mad about the buildup, because there was no buildup. It was our ball, and then it was in the back of our net.
We were in midfield. It was Taka was passing to.
I think it was Parker, but I won't swear.
It was either
to
Parker
it.
Or Bashu, one of the guys with good hair. That's what it comes down to. And he took his eye off the ball to look where the guy was coming, and somebody else,
he made a break on it, took the ball, and...
You know, instead of going to the ball, he waited for the ball to come to him, and it was over within a matter of seconds. I mean, Can didn't have a chance. You know, he was literally hung out to dry on it. And
then for the rest of the game, we never looked like we were going to score. Siasulka had a shot at the end of the game that was promising. And a nice little play, but I mean, that was really the only good chance we had.
My uncle played semi-professional in England, and he was telling me a story once. They were playing a pre-qualifying game for the FA Cup, and they were playing a team two divisions above them. And he said, "We know we're going to get beat." And sure as anything, with the first 20 minutes of the game, they go 2-0 ahead. And the game meanders. They take the foot off the gas and kind of park the close the game out. Yeah. And within the last 15 minutes, we scored to make it 2-1. And then for the last 15 minutes of that game, they flew at us to try and restore the third.
Right.
And they ran us ragged. And it makes me wonder if, you know, the players just thought, well, we won't score because then they'll just make us run more in the last 15 minutes. And it makes me wonder. Because as I say, I didn't see the game, so I don't know. I just followed it online on Twitter.
It was anemic. It was just...
I genuinely wish there was that much attention by the players paid to what was going on that they thought they would be afraid of running. It looked that anemic, lethargic, whatever word you want to use, the intensity just wasn't there.
One of the worst games I've seen them play from an effort standpoint, I thought.
It was completely I just don't give a fuck.
Now, maybe the players are listening to this and they say, you don't know what the hell you're talking about, but it looked like that. There was just nothing happening.
I mean, and I tried to argue in previous podcasts and to other people that we seem to play up to our, as much as we play down to our competition, we seem to play up. And I was...
Not anymore.
Didn't happen.
Not anymore. And like I said, it was just guys not going to the ball. You know, just they looked hungover. I can't even put any other description on it. It just...
Well, the previous night was Saturday. Maybe some of them went out dancing.
Rochester's a kicking town.
But, I mean, no, seriously. I mean, I was hungover at the bar watching the game, and it looked like, oh, they must feel how I feel. Because they were just slow, just...
Sluggish. I mean, I...
So, yeah.
I can't explain it. I've seen them have more energy and, I don't want to say excitement, but more energy out there during those dog days of summer, those 100-degree days, than they did Saturday.
And it's sad because they should be fighting for a job.
Yeah.
Let's not kid ourselves. I mean.
Yeah, some of these guys are going to lose their job. That's the way it goes.
That's the
nature of the beast. Yeah. And you'd think they'd be busting a gut to prove themselves for next season.
And even if not here, somewhere else.
Yeah.
It wasn't evident during that game. And, I mean, that's sad, but that's the way it was.
You know, I don't know. I can't get in their heads. I don't pretend
to. Yeah, I mean, when we got beat in Montreal, that horrible game when we lost 5-2, and I thought they'd stop playing for Dale. And then they come back against Toronto and show me that they're not. So who knows? We could.
No, they could win the next three. I mean, it's, you know, who knows? But
there's just no personality to this team that's consistent.
So.
Other than being defensively sound.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, after that, I mean, the two goals were, you know, what they were. I mean, then we held our shape fairly well, and I don't know.
Moose had a great clearance.
Again, I mean, it all comes down to the offense. There's just none of it.
Yeah.
I mean, good games, bad games, we always need more offense.
Our top scorer's got 5 goals this season, right?
Yeah, that's,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And we got a couple of guys on 4.
But yeah.
That's just not going to get it
done. No, it's not going to get it done. And then that's, I don't know. I don't know if it's the midfield's fault for not creating chances or if it's the striker's fault for not putting away said chances. I don't know where.
You know, I mean, we were talking about players who we think will come back or whatever. You know, I think anybody who is on the offensive side of the ball,
yeah,
whether that's a midfielder, attacking midfielders or wingers or strikers, none of them should feel comfortable.
I agree.
None of them have gotten the job done. That's not to say that they won't fit with other parts, mm-hmm. or that they haven't worked hard and maybe earn a spot, but if I was an offensive player, if I was a striker for the team, I wouldn't be sleeping.
I would also say, and you know, people can come back at me and say, I don't know what I'm talking about, but if you are a squad player, if you are a squad player in this team and you can't get into the fourth worst team in USL,
yeah,
you're not good enough.
Right.
And the only real,
yeah, we complain about the starters, but the guys on the bench aren't doing enough in training to earn that spot.
So the only person,
I don't think it's a coincidence that Mike Roach has been instrumental in our 2 home wins. I don't think that's a coincidence. And he's the only because of his injury, he's the only one I'll give up.
So that leads me to the question, why isn't he seeing an opportunity?
Well, he's been injured.
No, I'm saying, but as of late.
You know, I think he's just come back.
Yeah.
Not too. I mean, he's had a tough season injury wise.
Sure, but you know, okay. So the win, he plays an instrumental part.
Yeah.
Why doesn't he see time the next game?
Here's another thought, and Jason McAdams made this. We're not making the playoffs now. Alec and Patrick can go back to Chicago.
Yeah.
You know.
I think they want time, but yeah.
No, they called duty back.
Well, they did, but let's start planning for next year now. I mean,
If they're with us, pull somebody else in to see what we got.
Yeah.
I agree. I think Dale might get a little more experimental just mm-hmm. to see what guys are, because there's some guys we haven't seen a lot of.
Yeah,
there's some guys I would argue we've seen too much of.
Yeah,
that, you know, okay, we know what you can't do. Let's see what else somebody.
And
can
what's
do.
The worst they can do? Not score.
Right. Right. Yeah. No, exactly.
Turn it over.
Yeah.
Already doing that.
So that's my thoughts. If you can't make it even into this team, and I think a lot of the current starters may find themselves riding the bench a little more next year if they come back.
Yeah.
As they look at new faces for next season. I mean, I went to the Oklahoma City Austin game on Saturday, and they have a solid spine of that team, Edwards, Thomas, and Koenig.
Yeah.
And they are big brutes, 6'3", physically imposing players that get get it done. And
Koenig's got 20 goals on the year.
And that's that's you need to succeed in this league.
Right. Well, and that's the thing. I mean, you know, Eric Von Ida asked it on the on Facebook or Twitter, one of them, I can't remember. The contract situation. USL doesn't release that information. Yeah. So we don't know, but you know a couple of the guys that are on 2-year contracts.
The only one I'll say is I know is definitely on a 2-year is Hardware, because I read that information in the public domain. Yeah. The other guys.
And to be fair, Hardware is probably one of the offensive players that I would bring back.
We'll get back to that definitely. In a minute. But the other two guys I know are on 2-year contracts. I was told in confidence, and
yeah, that's fine.
And Brian Gall told me that he's on 1 year with an option for next year. Yeah. So that was just with the interview. So,
right.
But going back to Hardware, the last 20 minutes of that first half against Charleston at home,
mm-hmm.
he was dancing. I mean, he was absolutely fantastic. And they can complain about those penalties all they want.
Yeah.
But they were penalties.
No, that's what I said. Hardware has created, I mean, he's looked good on the ball. He's looked good off the mm-hmm. ball. I mean, nobody's perfect every game, but he's been one of the bright spots offensively for me.
Yes.
I mean,
yeah.
Some people don't like this or that about him, but I think he's definitely a midfielder that I would bring back.
I think he suffers from a compatibility issue more than anything. That, you know, when you have somebody that plays that creative role like he does, you need the appropriate...
Somebody making the run, somebody... Right, yeah.
Yes.
I also think when they brought him back after he broke his fingers, that cast, it was like a mental thing with him. He was looking not to fall on it and his fingers.
You can't put a hand on a guy.
I don't think he was 100%. It took him like a month, even after coming back, to really get in the swing of things. And
but even still, he's the one guy on the offensive side that I would say no hesitation bring back.
Yeah.
Not to say other guys won't come back too, and I mean, I like Ambo's endeavor, you know, his work rate. Again, I think it's a partnership thing. He doesn't have a good partner to play off of, so I
don't know. If Ambo had a better midfield behind him, would he get more goals? I don't
right.
know. Or
it's hard to say.
I don't know.
It's because, I mean, we've all said it before. We've seen flashes from every direction.
Yeah.
But it's not connecting. It's not, and it's not going to. I mean, I've given up on all this team needs to do is gel.
We
got 3 games left in the season. They're not going to gel.
It's oil and water at this point with some of these guys.
So, I mean, some of these guys you're going to have to pick, you know, well, you're worth keeping, and I'm going to try somebody to, you know, match with your skills or vice versa. But I don't know. I don't want to start calling out people that I'd fire him. Cause I mean, they're all good players, but some of them just aren't working.
I met Brian Gall's parents before the Charleston game. And they basically said to me that they said that they've been told this team has raw talent. I mean, serious raw talent.
We've seen that.
But we're not seeing it enough.
No.
And I don't, we know that
if you've got enough raw talent to overcome, you know, somebody can just be a beast out there and dominate a game, and that'll cover a lot of mistakes.
Yeah.
But if you're not good enough to be that good, then you got to play as a team, and we're not playing well as a team.
Agreed.
Offensively. I think defensively, we do kind of have a core in the back that I could live with, that I could be comfortable with.
And I think a lot of the goals we've conceded are because the defense would just overrun. It was like wave after wave. The midfield will get the ball, they'll lose the ball, and then
early in the season, we were fine defensively. I didn't have a single problem with it. But again, you play all year where you're just getting shelled. It's going to catch up with
you. It's the NFL analogy. The best defense is an offense that keeps the ball out there.
Yeah.
I still would like to see a Barkley have a full season.
Yeah. Oh, that hurt us, no doubt.
Ridiculously.
I mean, I mentioned Hardware and his fingers, but prior to his fingers, he had that big layoff from a hamstring. Yeah. And
But you mentioned Barkley to me earlier this week, and I said, yeah, but you can't count on one player. Because if you count...
No, we need four Brandon Barkley.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, we do.
Yeah, it's safe to say that our season was hurt by not having Barkley all season, but if you plan that exclusively on one player, you're doing yourself a disservice.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
but I think that's where the chemistry issue then comes into play, is that you know, when you look at the front line, you had an expectation of some sort of production that just wasn't there.
Yeah.
And the loss of Barkley shouldn't have played that big of a role, because you're expecting production out of guys that, frankly, haven't produced all year long.
Yeah.
So losing Barkley hurts you terribly, but in theory, it shouldn't have been crippling.
And again, as great as Brandon is, there's no saying if he was healthy all season, we'd have a much better record.
Well, you know,
if we're still not scoring goals, we're still not scoring goals.
Here's the thing. For two or three podcasts, we sat here and go, well, when Barkley and Musa and Hardware are back, we'll be okay. And I think we believed it. But I also thought, I think to a certain degree, the other players believed it as well. They were like, when these guys come back, we'll be okay. And then when they got these guys back, they kind of said, well, we've got these guys back now, it's going to be okay. And,
yeah.
You know, they, I don't know.
No, it's, I mean, wow, this podcast is a downer.
You know what's the awesome thing, though?
We got a bunch of stuff to talk about that doesn't involve the field.
You know,
well, that too.
you know what? But you know what? I used to listen to a podcast, an Arsenal podcast called The Tuesday Club. And I don't listen to it now because Arsenal are doing okay. They've won trophies. They've got good players. They've made a few signings like Ozil and Sanchez. You know, when they lost to Birmingham in the League Cup final.
Yeah.
Like 3 or 4 years ago. I mean, it was, the podcasts were just great. It was just a moan fest. And I think it makes for better listening personally.
No, that could be.
And we have a team to complain about that's going to be back next year.
That's right. Let's talk about next year. Season tickets are on sale.
I got my notice yesterday.
Yeah, if you're already a season ticket holder like us, you should have received a letter in the mail, or you will be very soon.
I put my 50% down.
The good news is the prices did not increase, at least in our section. Maybe some of the others have changed a little bit, but still $150 for the general admission section, which is where the Lilligan stand. So that's good. What? You're looking at me like I'm crazy.
Okay. Maybe I misread it then.
What?
I thought it was more than that, but I'm sorry.
Well, it was 150 plus tax or whatever.
Yeah, sorry. I don't know. Maybe I need to have more alcohol.
You are.
Are you buying tickets in the VIP section? You don't even know it.
he doesn't want to stand by us anymore.
Hell no.
I don't like the green seat backs.
There's a cripple that keeps taking up too much space.
Sorry.
There.
So yeah, season tickets, the information's out there. If you've been to a couple games but you didn't buy season tickets, I encourage you to call our friend Patrick Kelly out at the office, and he will set you up with season tickets. We're going to stay where we are. Later in the season, you'll be able to, or in the off season, you'll be able to pick that you want to stand in section 8 with us. But right now, just all you have to do is buy general admission season tickets. So Mitch went to get his letter to make sure I'm not a liar.
No, what I think happened.
See, what had happened was.
What had happened was. No, I think there was a mistake made in the front office where I think I had somebody's tickets transferred to me to do some end of season house cleaning with the ticket trade-in day.
So did you get billed for two season tickets?
I think that's what I got. That's what I'm going to say. Because I think it said 150 now and 150 later. So PK, yeah, 300.
PK, yep. Fixed that. Well, then you're paid up for the whole season if you put 50% down.
I did. So I'm paid up.
There you go.
Suck it. PK, fix this shit now.
That's what you get when you have your personal season ticket rep at St. Louis FC.
It's what you get when you take care of other people's trash.
So, yeah, in addition, we'll obviously be having meetings during the off season, and we'll tell you about some of the perks we get as season ticket holders, one of which will be an after-the-season get-together where we'll drink a few beers and talk with some of the players that are still in town and the owners and the general manager and just, you know, have a general Q&A where you guys can yell about our lack of offense or whatever you want to say, but that's all included with season tickets, so...
And, you know, again, $150 or $300,
it's
as
been
I thought.
Fun.
This been has been a bargain. It really has. I mean, we went to the movies recently, and it was like $25 to go to the movie.
Yeah.
And, well, it was a great movie.
Yeah. Well, and the team has bought us a couple of buses to take us to away games that, you know, a lot of other supporters groups have to pay for their own. I mean, not to say we won't for certain games, but... The team has been very generous, you know, helping us go to Louisville a couple of times and taking us to KC for the U.S. Open game.
Free beer.
I mean, they wheeled a cart of beer to us.
That was a fortune in beer. And we've gotten other nice things, too. We got our own special scarf. We got the pint glasses.
Well, and just different events they've had where, I mean, not just the St. Luligans, but all the season ticket holders they invite us to, and free food, free beer. Yeah. And I mean, it's a great value. It's the best value in sports in St. Louis, I can say without a doubt.
And if we have a better season next year, it'll be the hottest ticket in town, I think.
Yeah, and well, that's the thing. Even when we lose, we have a great time. I mean,
there's talk that the next home game.
You
on the 12th.
Said that in the most sad way. Even when we lose, we have a great time.
Have you met Brad? I mean, seriously.
I think I have low T. It's not because I don't have fun at the game. It's just.
It's like if we try and convince ourselves we have a great time.
It's not that bad.
We do have a great time. We do have a great time.
Yes.
It sounds like the game on the 12th is nearing sellout. So if you're still on the fence or you're.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing. I mean, for the season we've had, attendance has been pretty damn awesome.
It's actually growing. Fantastic. The worse we get, the more we sell. Yeah.
So
that makes no sense.
I mean, again, we have a good season, and Jim's already starting to plan to build seats, you know. So, and a clock. I've been amazed with the attendance. I mean, I hoped it would be this good, but it's surpassed my expectations.
I mean, we've been consistently at about 90% capacity on average, you know. I think
the team planned on 3,000 to 4,000.
Yeah,
as a goal. And we're over that, you know. So it's been a success that way. It's been a success as far as just game day experience.
Everything but the results on the field.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of the results on the field have been fun and we've had a good time. You know, the highs have been highs. You know, the lows have been lows. And yeah. That's the
but it's still our team. And it's still, you know, it's like, this is all building inside of us. It's tradition. It's history. So when we do have that good season, you know, you and I will laugh about, boy, remember the first season? Remember, you know, we were begging for a win, you know, we celebrated draws at home.
I also feel that this does represent St. Louis. It's owned by a St. Louis company. It's the manager is a local guy. The GM is a local guy. I feel a deep connection to the fact that it does represent the city. And as I said on the last podcast, I trust Dale and Jeremy to make improvements.
Let's talk about that. We did a nice debate last week about Dale, or last podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, he's 1-1, lost 2. And again, this week when I said we're doing the pod, anybody want to talk about anything, questions of Dale come up.
Mm-hmm.
Still on board for bringing Dale
back? Yeah, I also made the point, though. I mean, and it's just my opinion. You know, if your opinion out there is to make changes in that department, your opinion is just as valid as mine. You know, my reasons to stick with Dale stand. And if we get to this point next year, there's going to be a lot of dissent. But Dale knows that. He's a realist. He knows what this business is about. But if they make improvements with player personnel and things get better, then we'll be all right with that.
Mitch, your thoughts on Dale? No Dale?
You know, Bird said it several times. If we bring in a new guy, you expect to give him 2 years.
Yeah.
That's just the way. That's the nature of sports. That, you know, that first year is kind of a wash. The second year, you give him an opportunity. I stand by that. If halfway through next season we're in the same boat or worse, even though I don't really know if you could have worse at this point in time, but if we're in that same position, absolutely we need to have a discussion. At this point, you know, the great conversation that was had at the beginning or with Tom Strunk was they based the idea of the roster off of last year's
USL.
Yeah.
And Bird and I were talking about that before you got here. It's a radically different league than it was a year ago. And it's going to be a radically different league a year from now, too.
You know, Sacramento won it last year. They've not changed any play personnel, really, and they're seventh in the West right now. They're
on the outside of the playoffs as of right
now. So if we're basing our team off what the league looked like last year, you know, we were behind the eight ball. But, you know, I've got to think that Dale was a safe pair of hands for the first year, he's pretty steady. He doesn't get elated with the wins. He doesn't get depressed with the lows. I know that.
But he's got to make some changes personnel-wise. I mean, if we don't change anything, then that's a non-starter. But
you know, I met at the U.S. Panama game in KC. I met one of the Scott Gallagher coaches, and we were talking about Dale, and he said that Dale lives and breathes this team, and that's what you want in a coach. And then we know Jeremy's like that, and so that's what you want off these two guys. I think they're competitors. I think they want to win, and I trust them to make it happen.
And I think they know the game both on the field and off the field well enough at this point that, okay, this is what we came in with. We have to adapt. We have to grow. They're not stagnant guys. And mm-hmm. I think that's one of the things that I think people worry about is that there's a complacency there because Dale doesn't get elated on the field. He doesn't. He's not that outwardly emotive guy on the pitch that people think that he's just going to be stagnant, that he doesn't, you know. And they're both much more clever than that.
But also, if you want them to get rid of Dale and bring in a new guy, what you are asking Tom and Jim to do is to pay off Dale or sidestep him to a different role. You're asking them to bring in another guy. They'll have to probably have to compensate another team unless he's a free agent. They'll have to pay relocation for him and his family to St. Louis. They'll have to give him a guaranteed probably 3-year contract. You know, you're asking...
And start over from scratch because he may play a different style and want a whole new system.
Yep.
So you're asking Jim and Tom, based off three bad months, to make a $500,000 decision.
Yeah.
If I was Jim and Tom, I'd be hanging on a bit to make that decision too.
And I'll say what I said last week, which is I could see the argument for getting rid of Dale, but I'm all for keeping Dale unless you've got a definite improvement. If somebody's available that you know, I mean, let's just throw out Preki. Because nobody knows where Preki is right now. If Preki comes back with his tail between his legs looking for a job in USL, and for whatever reason he says St. Louis is where I want to be.
I played indoor there.
Then maybe you consider it. But if you don't have somebody better, and I mean better by a significant amount, don't roll the dice.
I mean, there are precedents that teams have done that where they've got rid of a coach who really just hasn't done a bad job, but they brought in a better guy just, you know, to take him to the next level. Southampton did that. They got rid of Ian Adkins and brought in Pochettino, you know, and to just get them
to be over the hump.
Yeah.
Well, and Dale's the kind of guy that even if they did replace him, which, again, I don't think they will, and I agree with you guys, I don't think they necessarily should, but if you do replace a Dale, you can absorb Dale back into the system because he's got a place to play. Not even, I mean, yes, into the Gallagher system, but even into St. Louis FC, you know, his knowledge is valuable.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's not like you would get rid of Dale, but you might shift Dale. But I'm with you. I think we keep him in the role he's in, you know.
And again, this is an expansion year. Every sport, there's an expansion team that does well. There's an expansion team that doesn't do well.
Which one are we?
We are the Miami Marlins.
The thing is, we could have Dale sat here now, and we'd ask him certain questions. And one of my questions would be, why did you go from the diamond formation to the four and then the two holding? Because I thought we did better results-wise at the beginning of the season when we had the narrow diamond. And he I don't know why, but he probably has a great reason for that makes total sense.
If only you had a radio show where you interviewed him.
Well, and also, I mean... If Dale was sitting here, I'd say, yeah, what about the striker? He'd be like, yeah, he's not going to deny the fact that we're not scoring goals.
And he, as I said in the last podcast, when a guy blazes it over the bar from 6 yards out.
Yeah, that's not Dale's fault.
You know, it's just the way it's been.
Yeah. All right, well, let's move on to just a couple more things. The next game is the last road game, and where are we going to be watching that at, guys?
We are going to be at ITAP Soulard.
ITAP Soulard.
And what's the great thing about that?
My birthday.
Well, no. Well, yeah, but not, no. ITAP does a great thing called Kegs for a Cause, and we've talked about doing this before, but the perfect occasion has arisen, they're going to do it for Pizzagate. We're still raising money for the St. Louis area food banks.
We're killing it.
And we're killing it. We've got almost 4,700 now. Our goal, we started with a goal of 1,000. We shattered that. Went to 2,000. We shattered that. Went to 3,000. We shattered that. I said, okay, well, let's make it 5,000. We're going to cross that. And you can help by coming to ITAP for the next watch party. That's next Sunday. We're playing Harrisburg.
Harrisburg, yes.
We're going to have a keg set up. And anybody who drinks off of that keg, all the money will go to our Pizzagate contribution.
$5 per draft.
Yep.
That whole $5 goes to it. The first keg is going to be a local beer, Schaffley's Summer Lager. It's a very palatable drink for anybody that drinks a beer. It's not hoppy, it's not heavy, it's not anything like that.
Yeah, we didn't want to pick anything that like I would love but no one else would.
Or vice versa, you know.
So, yeah. This is a pretty safe choice, a good local lager.
We're doing the half barrel. So I think I figured out that's a possible of like $850-$870 in our pocket or in Pizzagate's pocket if we do. The other awesome thing about this in talking to Sarah and the team at ITAP is that if we kill that keg before our 3-hour time frame is done, they do another one.
Which they normally don't do, but they're going to do because they love us so much.
So it's a good reason to get hammered on Sunday.
Yes. Bring a sober driver or have someone pick you up. I would say call Uber, but St. Louis doesn't do that.
Yeah. Good luck getting a taxi.
Bring a friend that doesn't even like soccer, just likes beer.
Yeah.
We're going to fill that back area of ITAP.
I think we're going to fill more than the back area.
I hope so.
I think we're taking it over.
And we'll be watching the St. Louis FC game. We're going to have some people from the front office will be there. Talk to Jeremy about maybe getting... Jeremy's going to be there, but maybe some players who don't travel might come out to say hi.
It's also worth...
Probably punch me in the face after they've just listened to
Could be. Punch Make Bird sure. in the face. That's an extra $5. But,
keep sharp objects away. The other awesome thing is that ITAP did their soccer shirt for this year. It was The Drink Local green shirt. It's a nice looking shirt.
It's got St. Louis FC's logo on one sleeve.
It's got our name on the back along with many other local items. Normally it sells for $8. Normally it sells for $15, I'm sorry.
They're selling them at this event for $8.
Yep.
Which is a great deal.
It is, because it's a nice shirt.
But even better, $4 from every $8 sale, they'll donate to Pizzagate. Wow. So it's another way to give to the cause.
And it's a good shirt to wear out. I mean, like,
it's
nice.
It's green, so you can wear it to St. Louis FC games.
It's a decent-looking shirt, so you're not embarrassed by wearing it, like a Damone Brun shirt would be.
Oh, that's a man.
How many Arsenal shirts do you have with your name on the back now?
One, Dick. Thanks to you.
Yeah, and you know what?
What?
It's the first shirt that you've gotten from Arsenal with a name on the back where you didn't leave.
Well, that's true.
So kiss my ass.
My wife got me a nice retro Arsenal jersey, and Mitch told her to put my name on the back of it. Dickhole. It's lovely, honey. Thank you. why don't you ever wear that shirt with your name on it? Because I'm not that guy.
Yes, you are. You are now.
Full kit wanker.
Yeah, that's right.
Customized name wanker.
Yeah. I wear it with full socks and cleats, too.
Shin guards as well.
So we're going to do that, and we're going to talk to Mission Taco because they're connected there, and they're a St. Louis FC sponsor. So we'll have some Mission Taco or Epic Subs and Pizza right next door and some beer.
Lots of beer.
We'll watch the team. We'll raise a whole hell of a lot of money for charity.
Because that's what it matters. And we'll even have a bucket out, too. So if you want to just randomly, drunkenly shove money into a bucket, you can.
And
sounds like it.
Joey wanted me to remind all the younger Luligans that they can get root beer.
Oh, well, there you go.
They do like kids there, so bring your kids. You know, there's soda.
I'm not bringing my kids.
No, don't you bring your kids. But if other people like their family, they can bring them.
I like my family plenty.
I like my family when they stay home.
Yep. In fact, actually, I'm bringing my family to the home game on the 12th.
Well, there you go. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Nearly sold out home game.
The next home game against Charlotte Independence. That's a winnable game.
It's
But Charlotte's gonna be fighting for that last spot of the playoffs.
And if you'd have said to me back in, I don't know, late April, early May, that they'd be fighting for the playoffs and we'd be dead and buried, I'd have looked at you strange, but that's where we're at.
They still don't have a place to call home, but they're fighting for a playoff.
Well, you know, they're going to MLS. Why should they look for a USL stadium? They've got bigger and better things to fry.
We do also have, in addition to that home game, we like to have themes for our tailgate parties, and this theme for the next homecoming game, or next home game, is Homebrew Day.
We should have a homecoming day where we all show up in tuxes and
can I wear dresses? A dress?
Yes, absolutely.
Fancy dress. Yeah, the next homecoming is Homebrew Day. So if you're a homebrewer and you've got some bottles of your product, bring them out to the tailgate. We're going to kind of do like we did the, what was it, the wings competition. People will be able to vote. We're also going to have, you know, store-bought beer if you're afraid of what's brewed in Mitch's bathtub.
I haven't brewed in a while.
Because
I think my brewing.
Remember John?
Who?
John.
Who?
Is this guy, John, used to come to games. Really? And he used to come to podcasts and bring us beers and stuff. He used to brew beer with
Kenny?
Him. No, Kenny's also gone.
Okay.
But Greg, yes, he's gone.
No, he's not allowed in my house.
Yes, we've lost a few along the way, but we've gained a ton.
Yeah.
So, yes, bring homebrew for that tailgate party. And that's the second to the last game of the season. And then the final game of the season, September 19th, which I cannot go to, and I'm sorely, sorely depressed about it.
I find it amusing that the team that shall not be named, you're missing this one. I missed the last one.
Yeah, well, and Bird missed the first one against them.
Yeah.
Well, I missed the two away games.
Yeah.
So, well,
I did redeem myself by going on other away trips. So
you went to Oklahoma and we didn't even play there. That's how dedicated you are. That counts as an away game for you.
Because I'm a soccer fan. If you know, if I was in India, I'd have gone to watch the India Lab.
Oh, yeah,
or if
yeah.
I was, you know.
Wife and I are talking about a Seattle trip, and I'm trying to arrange it around a Sounders game.
That's right. We're moving west, so we'll have
well,
the Sounders too.
We have to talk about
yes,
that.
We'll come back to that in a moment.
Well, because I looked at Oklahoma and Austin, I'm like, these teams aren't as good as the teams we've played in the East.
We'll come back. All right. Let Brad finish his checklist.
Let's do a couple more things, and then we'll talk about that. A hashtag that popped up, and St. Louis Post-Dispatch actually picked up the story. we were just joking around. You know, we've had different celebrities, St. Louis celebrities, out to the game. You know, Moon and Lux from The Point, and Randy Carricker from 101 Fast Lane, and some of the Blues players have come out. Johnny Hecker came out from the Rams. So we were just tossing around, you know, who should we invite to the next game? And Jesse Daniels decided he wanted to invite John Hamm. So he just threw a tweet out there with the hashtag bring Hamm home, and we all kind of retweeted it. And next thing you know, Post-Dispatch picked it up, a little story about us wanting John Hamm to come home for a St. Louis FC game. So John Hamm, if you're listening.
As I'm sure he is.
Yeah.
Or, well, probably his publicist listens, but not him.
He's a dedicated.
He is a St. Louis sports fan. He goes to Cardinal games. So
he has that Blues hat that's seen better days.
Yeah. So, John Hamm, if you're listening, please report to Soccer Park for one of the last two home games. Speaking of the last home game, TIFO. We're working on the TIFO for the Louisville game. I am drawing it out this week because I'm lazy and I haven't done it yet. But I will do it this week, and we're going to paint either Saturday, Sunday, or Monday. We're kind of taking a informal poll, and we'll post information on that if you want to show up and help us paint the TIFO. Just a good reason to get together and have a few more beers.
I highly recommend it. It'll be a fun time.
You know, if we lose, if we spend all this time on a TIFO and we lose, it's a waste of my time. It's just
they've made fools of me.
Yeah. Terrible.
Well, I'm going to enjoy this one more because the last two I've painted all by myself, more because of my procrastination and lack of organization than anything else. But
I see. I've never done a TIFO. I don't know where to start. I don't know how it's done. So
this is
a learning thing.
This is going to be color by number. I'm going to trace it all out using my projector at home and just bring the sheets, and I'm going to say, put blue there, put green there, and hopefully we'll get it done in an afternoon.
I think it'll happen. Yeah. We've got enough people that have said.
Nice sunny day. It'll dry out there in the parking lot.
And again, you know, even if you don't have any artistic talent, come out. It's not hard.
No, this
it's
is not.
It's really easy to do. And
this involves no art. This just is coloring and having fun.
I'm not a painting person. I prefer not to paint, but I'm going to come hang out.
Yeah.
I'm not going to actually do any work.
Yeah. So, I'm lazy. It won't take long. We'll have fun, drink a few beers.
What?
Yeah.
Us?
Yeah.
No.
And then whenever, I won't even be there. I won't get to see the finished product raised at the game, but I will tell you, well, the first game it didn't get raised so well, so I had a minor...
New hashtag, miss you, Brad.
I had a minor conniption because I spent hours on that and no one saw it. It wasn't that we lost the game. It was that no one saw it. So, but you'll take a little pride when they hoist that up. You can say, I helped paint that.
Maybe we'll try to get some, like, PVC poles in the back to...
That's what we did the second game, the first King's Cup game in St. Louis. We did that, and... Jeremy's still talking about getting the hoist set up. If not for the last game, then they definitely will be next year.
I think we need to talk to Tom Strunk about that.
I would much rather Jeremy be talking to Danny Koenig's agent.
Yeah.
When the contracts are okay, no tapping up here.
That's right. Danny Koenig, if you're listening, please call me. I also want to mention not our partner bar, but the American Outlaws partner bar, Amsterdam Tavern. We all like to go there on Saturday mornings and watch our favorite EPL teams.
We're all Outlaws.
They are expanding the back beer garden area. They've poured the concrete, and they're going to get it fenced up just in time for the USA game coming to St. Louis. So they'll be able to fit another 50 people in.
It's going to be... That's the
And they've rented the scooter parking lot.
Yes.
They totally deserve to have their night to shine in the... day before party.
It's going to be crazy. It's going to be insane because America, I mean, the women's game was good. There was a good crowd there, but more people travel for the men's team. And I think,
you know, it's the first World Cup qualifier, right? As well. It's the first one.
Yeah. I think Amsterdam is going to be just holding their hands out, taking cash all night long. It's going to be a huge, huge party. And they've rented this place next door, which we've always said whenever there's a big game, they should do that. They're doing it.
I still don't know if it's going to be enough room. That's how big I think
it's
going to
be. Big. It would be nice if they could block off the block like they do every once in a while, but we'll see. But good news is they're expanding, which will be just great for regular USA television games because it's already too crowded for those big games. So.
Well, there's a game on Friday, I think, right?
Yeah, yep. Peru. So go out.
Be a good little test.
Go out and check it out. Okay, that's what I wanted to say. So now you want to talk about the West.
Yes. Well, first, I think we've got congratulations are in order.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
I forgot.
57 minutes, 10 seconds. That's my delete.
For those of you that don't know.
Motherfucker.
The St. Louis Sports Hall of Fame.
They've got a new category this year.
Yeah, it's for fans. Who deserve super, recognition.
Super fan is what they call it.
Super fan?
I think it's called the super fan. Mitch, I see the thumbs up.
That ain't a thumb.
Oh.
So the
who
super,
won?
Mitch Maurice, I believe.
Mitch Maurice.
Is going to be an honorary inductee in the St. Louis Sports Hall of Fame.
And who nominated me?
It could have been anyone.
It really could have been.
Except for they flat out told me it was you, you son of a bitch.
But, right?
Did you have to write an essay?
Yes. I had to give links. I had to Google links, like for the NPR interview he did.
Right, right.
And for the Tom Timmerman interview and the Post-Dispatch. I had to prove that you were a
recognized... Okay, I need this essay at least.
You're a deserving winner.
And they wrote back and said... You know,
this guy seems like a super fan.
But here's the thing, Mitch. There's
going to be some inbred wearing a teal.
All joking aside, you actually deserve it.
Yeah, you really are.
All joking aside.
No, absolutely.
And that's why you'll be standing on the stage with Chris Pronger.
Yeah.
And Daryl Duran.
Taylor Twellman.
Lots of great St. Louis Sports Hall of Fame members. And Mitch Maurice.
Yeah. One of these things. But they were probably like the other.
They were probably just delighted that it wasn't like some guy nominating his cousin because he's got a Kurt Warner jersey on the wall and goes to a few Cardinal games.
Well,
yeah, in all honesty, yes, you are a super fan.
Fuck off.
And I think Bird and I are going to chip in and we're going to go to Sam Cavato and we're going to get you a green jacket.
Ah, okay. Well, now that there's a green jacket involved.
And you have to wear it to
everything. That's what I'm going to wear to everything.
No.
God, you know how bad that thing can smell.
I'm not being funny, but
that's
the biggest win we've had this season.
I thought you were going to say, I should have nominated myself.
The only reason Mitch was nominated and not you, Brad, is because I knew Mitch's address from coming to the podcast. Because it needed the address.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
And I'm so thankful that she did not know my address.
Well, you're also a little introverted, so Mitch does all the interviews with the reporters and stuff. So
I hate you.
Is this a black tie affair?
I hope so.
There's a dinner involved, right?
There is a dinner involved. I was called about it today.
So you would get some rubber chicken?
Is that Teal Wigifer? Yeah.
I'm so happy about this.
The guy called me today and he goes, you know, you were nominated and you won. And, you know, Matthew Bird wrote some great words about you. Wow, we were impressed.
You know when I'm sat home all day thinking of things to do? You need me to get a job. I don't need me to get a job.
I need you to get a job.
This may be the best thing that's happened to me all year.
Seriously, Brad, it was because I did not know you.
No. It's better this way, trust me.
No, it's not. It would definitely be better to watch you and your antisocial anxiety going on and making
fuck you, I hate awards. Did you tell your wife? Are you guys going to the dinner?
Yes, I did. Yeah!
Oh, I couldn't be any happier than I am right now.
I hate you both.
Mitch Maurice.
Do I have to sign my name now? HOF15 afterwards?
Like Cooperstown, they're going to have like a bust of your head.
I think he gets a plaque on the wall.
Oh, no.
You will on my wall. I'm going to put one in my basement. So when you come over, there's a bronze plaque. Mitch Maurice, Hall of Famer.
Now, do you own your house? Is that allowed to put a plaque on the wall?
I might have to put it on the other side of the bathroom.
You know, like the halftime of one of the ambush games, they parade all the Hall of Fame.
No, I don't.
They parade all the Hall of Fame inductees, and
yeah, that's good. It's going to be a glorious, glorious day.
I hate you both so much.
This part of the podcast, no one else is entertained, but I am thoroughly entertained by this.
We got a Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer, Mitch Maurice. I'm going to make a new card for him.
St. Louis Sports Hall of Fame inductee, Mitch Maurice.
Green jacket, Mitch Maurice.
Oh, shit.
You got good tickets to the Cardinals, though, don't you?
Yeah, actually, I think so.
There are probably some good perks with this.
Well, I get free admission to the St. Louis. Yeah.
Shut the fuck up, dude. This is an honor.
You should be thrilled.
Yeah. I'm fucking kind of offended that he's not. I hope they don't listen to this podcast.
Really? You know what? I think that's great, Brad, and I think that you're now my date to go.
I wrote 1,000 words.
I can't. I got to have surgery.
Nope. You can go.
I would love to attend, but I'm having back surgery. I would like to send Mitch Maurice to pick up the award in my honor.
They've done Terry Micklinite at Soccer Park. I think Mitch Maurice night next
I think
season.
So. I think you should get to at least toss the coin before a game next year.
Just as long as they put a plaque on the wall. That's all I ask.
Hall of Famer. Well, Mitch Maurice.
At least that's be one team in USL with a plaque on the wall.
There you go.
Hmm.
All right.
I hate you, Bird.
Thank you.
All right. I'll check questions. Bird, you start us talking about the West. I'll make sure we haven't got any late questions.
I'm very excited about the West. A, because I think we could do better in the West based on what I've seen.
Can't do worse.
We can't do worse than we've done in the East, really. But we got 4 points off Oklahoma City Energy, who are top of the West right now. And we played Tulsa off the park 3 times this year in 2 friendlies and in a league game. So I think a move to the West will be good for us. I think it offers a change of scenery, and a change is as good as a rest. And let's be honest, best will in the world, I would much rather go to Arizona and
Austin
and Portland than Harrisburg, Rochester. You know, I'm no disrespect to the Rust Belt, but you know.
Well, and the other part is too, and I think Jeremy had mentioned it to us, is that being on the West Coast, they get a red eye out of the West Coast after the game that gets them home, where on the East, the red eye, I forget what he was saying, but he was basically saying the travel for post game is a lot more friendly than it is on the East Coast, that they'll be able to get to more home, or get home after more trips quicker, saving a few bucks and getting the guys in their own beds.
Now, I hope that we retain playing a couple of teams on the East that are close to us. You know, I'd like to think we're going to play Cincinnati home and away.
We should still have 2 rivalry games, if I did my math correctly, because they were talking about a 30-game season. There's plans on being 14 teams, so that should be 28 games, 14 home, 14 away. Well, no. Actually, we should still have four.
Four, because it's you got to take us out of the 14.
So, yeah, we should still have four rivalry games. So, I mean, maybe they give us an extra one versus Kansas City or...
Well, maybe they give us a 2-2 with the Eastern teams.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah.
Which would be nice. I
have a hard time believing the league wouldn't want us to play Louisville at least once.
At least twice, home and home.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. And then Cincinnati could be the other one.
And... You know, so those are doable games for us, and we'll be able to go to Tulsa. Hopefully, that won't be on a Thursday night. Oklahoma's a drag. It's a long drive. It's 8 hours there.
But that's one that
it's.
We could do a cheap hotel that night.
We did. I mean, that's what we did. Yeah. I mean,
or get together and rent a bus. You know, or the team might offer to pick up a couple buses, and maybe that's one we picked.
We've got the Kansas City games.
Yeah, Kansas City, and I was looking at Colorado Springs is a 12-hour drive.
It'd be a nice trip, though.
That'd be a great trip.
But that was also a trip I could say to Erica. You fancy a couple of days in the mountains?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And she'd be like, yeah, all right.
Yeah, I mentioned that to Aaron. Aaron's like, oh, I'd like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I do.
So that's my point. You know.
Oh, I could convince my wife some to of the go destinations, to the northeast, or south, northwest, Portland or Seattle
the
or
south,
Vancouver.
The western destinations. If you said to Erin, do you fancy going to Rochester for a couple of nights?
No.
She'd look at you like you were speaking Mandarin. But if you said to her, hey, you know, St. Louis FC are playing Rio Grande Valley. Do you fancy a couple of nights on San Padre Island?
Yeah.
You know, Erin would be like, I could do a couple of days on the beach.
Or Seattle and Vancouver.
Orange County. I mean, there's so many.
I also think there's going to be a lot more scope for, you know, the Wednesday and the Saturday games, the away trips.
Yeah.
You can go on a vacation, but you can catch two games for the price of one kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it. I think
as far as the records go, like I said, you mentioned it earlier. You don't know what to expect.
No. If the league improved, if Tom's right, and the league improved exponentially this year, you got to think it's going to happen again next year. So who knows which is going to be the better conference? I mean, you just pay your money, you take your chance.
Yeah, but like you said, can't do worse. So
now there's Wilmington fans going, yes, you can.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's a good point. But no, I'm excited about the move to the West, but I'm also looking forward to if expansion keeps pace. I mean, not like it did this year. This year was a crazy big year. But, you know, they were adding four or five teams. They might add another four or five. I think that Central Conference will come to pass. Yeah.
Yeah, I think when you get up into that 40-team area, I think you almost have to just for the competitive balance.
So we could miss the playoffs in the East, the West, and the Central. No other team will be able to claim that.
Wow, there's lofty goals.
Well, hey, I like consistency. No.
Records.
No, I'm kidding. But it could happen.
Well, we'll be a team that will have played every single team.
Yeah. Love that. Yeah. I mean.
They'll all hate us.
Well, I mean, when they first split the conference this year, I was kind of upset that we wouldn't get to play Sacramento or we wouldn't get to play, you know, some of the other teams. So, yeah, we will have seen the entire league. That's kind of nice.
Do you want to talk about U.S. soccer with the – you just
– They've moved the goalposts.
They have.
Hey, for those that aren't aware, U.S. soccer
– has changed the criteria to what constitutes Division One criteria. And basically, teams in Division One have to have a 15,000-seat stadium. They have to have a population of 2 million in its metro area. And, you know, but those are the major changes. From 1 million to 2 million people is a big jump. But
yeah. Well, and I think this is also in preparation for D2's still got to be sorted out. Everybody knows USL is in 2017 have said they're going to apply for D2 status. We know NASL doesn't currently meet D2 status requirements. They've applied for a waiver and gotten the waiver, but unless they start expanding big time, they're not going to be D2 status
big time
anyway.
Because they're losing teams.
They're losing teams. There's a couple more teams that are in trouble, you know, different lawsuits going on. But also, they don't have any teams in the West. They're going to have to add teams in the West, and I think the Mountain time zone. I think you have to have one team in every time zone.
Okay.
I forget what all the standards are, but they don't have enough teams is what the main gist of it is.
Well, and where are you going to put a team in the Mountain Time Zone?
Well, I mean.
Because Denver.
Colorado Springs.
Yeah.
Well, that's NASL's huge problem. They go after these markets that already have an MLS presence or a USL presence. They need to be finding these niche markets. They should go after Vegas. They should go after, you know, some of these other markets that need a team but aren't being served. So,
isn't Edmonton in Mountain Time Zone?
Maybe it is. Maybe you're right.
They might be.
That's probably the only reason why they've got Edmonton. Yeah.
But even still, they're required to have, you know, they were required to have X number of teams, and they haven't kept up with that.
It's also gone. I think it's gone from 12 teams to 16 teams is another criteria.
So,
and that may, I think that may be for D2 as well. I don't know.
Yeah, and they're going, and they'll be from 12 to 10 without, obviously.
There's a few MLS teams right now that don't meet the current D1 criteria of 2 million population. Columbus was close.
Salt Lake City.
Oh, yeah, they'll be grandfathered in.
Salt Lake City doesn't. There was another one, too. I can't remember who it was.
I mean, it's just another thing to think about when expansion does open up, whenever it opens up, you know. It's a way of thinning that herd a little bit.
Yeah, all the MLS to Austin, you know, accounts and those.
Yeah.
Like that. I mean, Austin doesn't meet it.
No.
2 million people.
And we only do because of the metro area.
Well, that's what it goes by.
Metro. Yeah. I know, but that's what I'm saying. You know, if it wasn't for the metro area, we'd be as well.
So, I don't know. It's worth talking about, but I think only as in it applies to the D2 status that USL is going to be going for, which I think, to be fair, most of us look at USL as a more finished product than NASL. NASL's positioned itself as the rebel league or the anti-MLS league, and that's all well and good, but they haven't kept up with the promises they've been making.
Well, and that's the other problem.
But it also means that if going for USL going for D2 status, it also means I think Harrisburg's looking at moving. They can't.
Harrisburg's looking at moving anyway. I mean, they've talked about Nashville. They've talked about
Lancaster.
Yeah, so
Nashville would be a great road trip.
And some of the USL teams are going to have to improve their stadiums. The facilities.
But that was already a year ago. That was a brought up by
USL.
Tim Holt.
USL set 2020. They want everybody in a soccer specific stadium, and they are including a smaller stadium like ours fits those criteria. We're the main tenant, and it's a field designed for soccer. It's not being played on a baseball field, and you're not sharing it with another team. Not so much that that's a problem, but scheduling dates and things like that. If you're the second tenant in a league.
You know, and I looked at the Charleston Stadium, which was very much like ours. It was, you could just tell they'd been around a lot more.
Yeah.
You know, they had a few more amenities. They had proper seats, even though they were bolted.
They're going to do that at Soccer Park next year, the nicer seats.
So, I mean, I think that's where we're headed with Soccer Park.
And I think they'll enclose the bowl eventually, if not next season, then, you know, once we start selling out every game. I think Tom told me we could expand up to 9,000. That's the edge of what they can do without tearing everything down and starting again.
A couple of concerns with that is where are they going to park everyone?
Parking is probably the biggest issue.
And I think I was talking to Pat Kelly, and I think Pat was talking about they may enclose it a little, but they'll put more VIP suites and do more corporate hospitality events. Yeah. You know, the GA will stay the same as it is, but when they enclose it, they'll put more highfalutin.
I imagine that they'll probably end up running some sort of shuttle service from the new Plex that'll be down the street with the old Chrysler plant.
Okay,
well, that's true. If they do doze that, I mean, it's really right down the street, just a little bit.
I mean, it's a little bit further than walking distance.
But yeah, they could easily share a parking lot or even build a parking lot in between that both could share.
Well, the proposition facility there is a small indoor ice arena that holds 10,000 to 15,000. I forget what the exact number is. So they're not going to be going on summer Saturdays at that facility. So there's a good opportunity to share, like you said, share
or,
parking.
I mean, they could even do like an NBA D League or, you know, a minor league ice hockey, minor league basketball, something like that.
I think the
idea
was to do a minor league hockey.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but they're not going to be playing during the summer.
Right. So No, there's options there for parking, and you know, worst case scenario, we park on, you know, one of the practice fields. I mean, those, the ones at the very end are the old AstroTurf. You know, like they play lacrosse mostly on
the 1980s AstroTurf.
Yeah, I mean, they park the VIP valet parking on the one field now, just around the edges. Mm-hmm. But I mean, if they needed the parking, you know, if they had the problem of 9,000 people coming and wanting to pay to park, they'd find a way.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So. That's kind of
barges. They're just going to float barges down the Merrimack.
Yeah. So yeah, I think USL continues to push for that D2 status.
And rightfully so.
Raising the standards. I mean, Tulsa plays in the baseball stadium, and I know they want to get a soccer stadium, you know, but they're doing it smart. The same owner owns the team and they'll build towards that. We know Louisville wants their own stadium, and I think they've proven this year with attendance that they deserve their own stadium. I mean, they'll get one. I mean, whether it'll be like ours or a little bigger or whatever, I think that's the goal for all these teams, is to get their own stadium just for financial reasons.
Yeah.
So I think we'll all get there, and I think USL will make that push.
I just, you know, just look towards next year now and hopefully get some top-quality talent on the field, win a few games, eh?
Well, and it won't hurt having in the corner a Hall of Famer.
That's right. You know,
fuck you both.
So yeah, is that all?
Looking forward to Mitch Maurice night next year.
I know it's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, everyone stands up, gives him a round of applause for his contributions. And can to we St. Louis
have mini posters? We can set him at a little folding table there, signing autographs for the kids. Wear your jacket.
I'll get my friend.
Can I get a trading card?
Oh, I'm working on that.
Make sure.
Don't you worry about that, buddy.
I'll make sure I wear pleated pants at night.
These are pleats.
It's not just pleats, man of the game.
It's just the pleats.
The pleats.
Okay. That's all I've got.
I'm going to ride that bus.
I'm going to.
All season.
Mitch? Ride the Mitch bus.
Just remember, I will get revenge at some point in time.
Mitch is like scouring Craigslist looking for awards he can sign you up for.
Not those aren't awards that I'm signing up for in Craigslist.
No.
He's a kept man during the
it's
day.
Kind of a
remember.
Gift.
It'll be the gift that keeps on giving.
That's right. Oh, well, again, you know, sorry we were downers a little bit, but we are having fun out at the park, and we want you to join us. And let's start with next Sunday at ITAP, drinking for charity with a Hall of Famer.
I hate you both. I really think this might be a lost episode here at this rate.
It's a love hate, right?
No, not at all.
Nope, just straight hate.
Nope.
All right.
I'm all out.
Mitch?
Fuck you. Fuck you both.
This is not a family episode.
I was going to say, I'm going to get a message from somebody. You said the F word too much.
Yeah. And I'm like, for Hall of Famer, you should really be more of a role model.
People look up to you. All right.
I think that's a good way to end the show. You can talk the guy, go banging on his door. You can throw your hands up, you can beat the clock. Yeah. You can move a mountain, you can break rocks. You can be a master, don't wait for luck. Dedicate yourself and you go find yourself. Standing in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. And the world's